Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, the 68th Psalm. Psalm 68 and page 630 in your Scofield Bible. Beginning with verse 22, we'll read the verses responsibly through verse 28. Verse 28 is the text for this morning's message. Let's stand, as is our custom here at First Baptist, for the reading of the Word of God. And the Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and that the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before the players, instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord, from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun, and the princes of Naphtali, together also on the text verse. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for a lovely day. Thank you for this great church. We're thankful for the folks who have through the years gathered on this corner faithfully and loyally. Thank you for those whom we remember who have gone before us. Help us on this Memorial Day to give a great deal of thought to that which was done by those who preceded us, that which was accomplished for our freedom, both freedom of country and freedom of religion. And we pray that you'd bless this service and help us in it to appreciate all that you've done for our preacher and all that you're continuing to do through him. We pray for this morning's message. We pray that our hearts would be knit together as one, that we would be receptive to the teaching of the truth of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that'll do till the first team gets here, I'll be for sure. I want to speak this morning from my text. Without your turning to it, I'll read it just one line. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. That's in Psalm 68 and verse number 28. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. From that text, I get this title to my sermon, Why Does God Allow Difficulties? Why does God allow difficulties? I'm talking to some high school student today having a difficult time. Your mom and dad have gotten a divorce, or maybe you're having a tough time staying in school, and you're having a difficult time. I'm talking to some bus kid today. You're having a tough time. You're trying to live for God, but you've not been privileged to have a father who goes to church and a mother who believes the Bible, and you're having a difficult time. I want to talk to you this morning. I'm talking to some young married couple today having a difficult time making ends meet. I'm talking to some college wife having a difficulty with adjusting to college life and having a husband just part-time. I'm talking to some college student today who's having a difficult time making it through college. You go to school by daytime. You go to work by night. And you just come in and kiss the kids and spank your wife and go back to school in the next morning. And I'm talking to some man today who's having a difficult time making ends meet financially. You work mighty hard, but there's not enough money to pay the bills and to meet their obligations. I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk to that little lady whose husband left her with some children to rear. You're having a difficult time. I want to talk to that little lady whose husband passed away and you're left as a young widow or an older middle-aged widow. I want to talk to you having a difficult time. I dare say that my message this morning will apply to almost everybody here. Why does God allow difficulties? I promise you, it's 11:37. I'll be finished preaching by 12:10. We'll be going home before 12:30. We're a little late this morning because of all the fine guests we had to recognize, and I'm glad we did. But I want you to hear me carefully. Father, bless me as I speak, and our people and our dear friends as they share with us in this service today. Please. It's tough down here, Jesus. You were here. You remember how tough it was. You had a tough time. And you know how tough it is for us. And I pray you'll help us to learn this morning why that's the case. In Jesus' name, amen. Please listen carefully. The devil gets a lot of credit for what God does. Let me say it again. The devil gets a lot of credit for what God does. Somebody says, I'm having a struggle. The devil is really fighting. Somebody else said, in the battle, Satan is trying to stop me. One fellow asked me, said, why all the trials the devil is giving me? And I said, sir, the devil's not giving you those trials. He's getting credit for those trials, but those trials are given you by God. Did you hear what I say? I said these struggles and trials are given you by God. Let me make three statements quickly. One, difficulties are not an invention of the devil. Number two, they make you strong and Satan does not want you strong. Satan wants you weak. God wants you to have difficulties because God wants you to be strong. So I said in the first place, difficulties are not an invention of the devil. Quit giving the devil credit for trying to make you strong. He wants you weak. I said, number two, difficulties make you strong, and Satan does not want you strong. Number three, it is God that plans your difficulties in order to make you strong. Now, I'm saying this morning, quit blaming the devil because you're having a tough time. Tough times make you tough. And God wants you tough, and God knows to make you tough. He's got to put you through some pretty tough training. In 1939, a man named Adolf Hitler decided that he was going to conquer the Rhineland, and then that he was going to sweep over Europe, and finally he was going to have a master race, and they were going to rule the world. Adolf Hitler was a wicked, vile man who is responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths on the battlefields and in the bombings of World War II. Well, most of us, when I was a young man, I was just a teenage lad when World War II came. And back in those days, everybody wanted to defend his country. That's before we had the draft dodgers named Bill Clinton and other people. And back in those days, every able-bodied man wanted to defend his country. We didn't know what the word draft dodger was back in those days. And if we'd known who he was, he would have been killed out of battle. But that's when America was America. And that's when we loved our country and had a country with some character and discipline and so forth. Well, Adolf Hitler caused the war, and when I became 18 years of age, I had to go to the armed forces. I took 17 weeks of basic training and then volunteered for the paratroopers, and I took several more weeks of training in the paratroopers. So we're there, and I won't go through all the struggles that we had. Well, I think I might do it. But struggle after struggle, you've heard me say this, had to do 90 push-ups with a full field pack, a 90-pound full field pack on my back. Had to do 25 push-ups with my right hand. Now I can't do 9 push-ups. I've got a full field pack on the front. But they put us through hell. I mean hell. Meanest men I ever saw were those sergeants. And so I'd sit be there in the sawdust pit doing calisthenics and running 10 miles a day. And I would say, boy, Adolf Hitler sure is making it rough on us. Adolf Hitler didn't have a single thing to do with that. Those sergeants were making it rough on us because we had a war to fight. And they were training us to stay alive and to save our country. And those battles and difficulties and struggles came from the United States sergeants. I hated their intestines back in those days and didn't like their guts either. But I'm simply saying that they were the ones that put us through the tough time. I said difficulties didn't come from Adolf Hitler. Difficulties came from those trying to train us who we did not know it, but they were our best friends. They're trying to save our necks. and there's a God in heaven that knows there are battles for you to fight, and there are tough times ahead, and God wants you tough and strong so you can face those battles. Spring training in football was not designed by the coach of the opponent. Spring training was designed by your coach. So every time you fellas go through spring training and doing all that rough work and getting ready for the football, NFL football season or college football season, all the players said, boy, the coach of the opponent is giving us a tough time. No, it is your coach that's giving you a tough time. He wants to keep you from breaking your neck out yonder when a 300-pound tackle comes after you. So quit giving the devil credit for the intelligence of God. I'm saying your difficulties have come from God. And God wants you to be strong. A player went to Tom Landry one time, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys for years, and said to him, thank you, Mr. Landry, for making me struggle in training. You added years to my career. Now, you college students, quit blaming the devil because you're having a tough time. And you young couples, quit blaming the devil because you're having a tough time. And you pastors visiting here today who are having a tough time. You got deacons like this giving you all kinds of trouble. And quit blaming the devil. I'm sick and tired of hearing preachers say, oh, the devil sure is fighting. The devil sure putting us through it. No, God's putting you through it because God's got some big battles out there for you to fight one of these days. And God, he wants you to be tough, and God is making you tough because of difficulties. So jump up and down and clap your heels and say, well, glory to God, I've got battles, I've got problems, I've got difficulties because God loves me. It's not the devil, it's God. People often ask me, well, how do you take what you take? Answer is, I've been trained in the school of difficulties. I thank God I was not reared with a silver spoon in my mouth. In fact, we didn't have a spoon. If we did, it wasn't needed because we didn't have anything to put in it. I want to thank God. I feel sorry for you spoiled brats. 18 years old, never worked a day in your life except shooting a basket or two. I feel sorry for you young people reared in the lap of luxury, never had a struggle, never had a tough time. I want to say this morning that you need some tough time because life is not easy. And out yonder when the war comes, you're going to wish you'd had some tough times while you're in basic training. If God wanted to develop you to floppiness, he would have given you no difficulties to face, no barriers to overcome, no hurdles to jump, no hills to climb, no battles to fight, no storms to endure. But God did not want you to be sloppy and soft. God wanted you to be strong. So God gave you the difficulties, not the devil. God gave you the barriers to overcome, not the devil. God gave you the hurdles to jump, not the devil. God gave you the hills to climb, not the devil. God gave you the storms to endure, not the devil. So I'm simply saying, hey, as I said a while ago, that's what's wrong with this generation. Oh, you sick of the house. It's always that way. You old men criticize the young generation. Yep, now I don't want to break our record. I'm not criticizing young generation. I'm criticizing my generation for not putting you through anything. It's not these poor young people's fault. It's your mom's and dad's fault. You had some struggles, and that made you what you are. And that gave you character. And that gave you integrity. That gave you honor. It gave you a backbone. It gave you courage. It gave you the willingness to take your stand. But you say, I don't want my kids to go through what I went through, and they won't be what you want. And that's why you got to have guards in our schools these days. And that's why young people are killed. Who are these young people shooting all these folks in the schools? You look where they live. They're not coming from the ghettos. They're coming from the high-class places where mom and dad let them grow up without any struggle. Let me tell you something, brother. Every child needs to work. W-O-R-K. Work. We wanted our kids to have a life of ease. Hence, more suicides among teenagers than we ever had. Why? Because they have not struggled. Mom and dad love them so much, they express their love the wrong way by sport. You know what the number, at least one poll I read, the number one gift wanted by high school seniors this year? The number one gift, a new car. A new car. Now, in case you gave your kid a new car for graduation, there's an altar here. An 18-year-old kid doesn't need to give a $20,000 car dropped in his lap. He needs to work to get that car. Oh, my soul. That's why we have the rock concerts, and that's why the schools aren't safe, and that's why we have the rape, and that's why we have the shootings on. We're rearing a bunch of soft, sissy, flabby young people who think the world belongs to them, and that's the reason they want the government to support them. And hey, they're going to college, and parents are paying $10,000, $15,000 a year tuition. Let that guy work his way through college. So God said, He said, thy God hath commanded thy strength. My Uncle Harvey, multimillionaire, had one son named Rupert. I went to see Uncle Harvey when Rupert was a teenage boy, about 16, 17. I was just a kid. Rupert's about 6 years older than I. But I remember that Rupert got out one day. Hey, young folks, hey, y'all listen to me. Hey, listen to me over here. I'm preaching to you, soft generation, not paid, not respectful enough to pay attention. You listen while I'm preaching. This is one preacher. He's not catering to a bunch of small brats. You say, well, how is you criticizing me? I'm criticizing your parents for letting you become a small brat. My Uncle Harvey, you thought I'd forgotten, didn't you? And that was what my Uncle George, I was telling you about. Uncle Harvey. His son Rupert. I went over to visit one day when I was a boy. Rupert didn't have automatic lawnmower, didn't have electric lawnmowers and gas mowers in those days. You had a mower that you pushed. You pushed it like that and pulled it back, and then you pushed it like that and you pulled it back. And Rupert, the teenage son of a multimillionaire, got that lawnmower out. And I said, Rupert, you gonna mow the yard? I thought you'd have a yard man. He said, no, I'm going to mow other people's yards. I said, man, your dad's worth millions, and you got to go mow other. He said, yes, that's the way I make my money, my spending money. I said, don't you get an allowance? He said, yes, my dad allows me to mow yards. That was America 50 years ago. That was America. When young men were men, I'm talking about a red-blooded American male boys who had some integrity. Why? Because mom and dad didn't spoil them up. These kids going down to Florida during the school breaks. How do they get down there? They fly. How do they get the money? From their affluent parents. That's how they get it. I'm saying, thank God, it is God that gives the struggles. Because God is trying to make you strong. Do you ever wonder why God waited so long to give us telephones? Ever wonder why God waited so long to give us the radio? Ever wonder why God waited so long to give us the airplane? Or electricity? Or the automobile? God knew about them. They're all prophesied in the Bible. In the Old Testament, you can find every one of the telephone, the radio, the airplane, the automobile, electricity, all prophesied in the Bible. God knew about them. And God could have made our minds understand them from the beginning. God could have had Adam and Eve could have had a telephone. They wouldn't have had anybody to call, but they could have had a telephone. Now, why? Listen carefully. Why didn't God give us minds to understand the telephone? Why didn't God give us minds to understand the combustible engine? Why didn't God give us minds to discover electricity? They're all there. Why? I'll tell you why. God wanted us to struggle. He wanted man to have struggled to find what he already knew and what he could have told man back yonder in the Garden of Eden. God wanted us to struggle. God is not in the business of manufacturing telephones. God is in the business of making men. So if you're having struggle this morning, thank God for it. The greatest Christians I know have been trained in a school of struggle. The greatest preachers I know. You never heard a preacher stand up, a great preacher, with a great one of the super churches stand up and say, boy, I tell you what, never worked a day till I was 25 years old. You never heard that. Listen to Lee Robertson preach sometime. Listen to Tom Malone preach sometime. Listen to these great John R. Rice and all these other great men. And Spurgeon, they struggled. And the struggle made them strong. And the strength made them lead other people. Now, Emerson said, difficulties exist to be surmounted. Now, don't miss this. Man, is your life a struggle? Thank God for it. You're going to become strong. Now, listen to this. If your life is not a struggle, then make one. Make one. You say create a struggle. That's what you do physically. Some of you do manual labor. Those who do not do manual labor have created the same struggle that a fellow does that does manual labor. You go to the athletic club. You lift weights. Why? You're creating a struggle that your profession does not allow you to have. That's why you go to the amusement park. That's why you ride those dumb rides. You pay to get scared to death. Folks pay to jump off of a big thing with a thing around. You did it one time, bungee riding. God have mercy on your wicked soul. Bungee jumping. But folks pay to do that. Pay. Money. Money. You know what I'm talking about. Money. What are people doing? People who do not have struggle need a struggle, and every man needs a struggle. Every man needs something to say, that's a hill I climbed, that's a battle I won, that's a victory I enjoyed, I struggled and I overcame. Everybody needs that. That's why you have health clubs, workout rooms. All right, then why don't you create struggles of life? All of my struggles, hear me carefully, all of my struggles in my life, God's given me, or I've made them. I've created struggles. You know, all the troubles I'm in, I made them. I didn't have to lead you to build this great church. I could have come here with 715 people. We averaged in Sunday school the year before I come. Came, year before I come. And Cam, I could have lived a life of luxury. And we could have had those same 715 people, and I knew enough Bible, I could talk to those people with the Bible. I didn't need to have all these bus kids around here. I didn't need to have my life threatened last Sunday night. Man came to the building last Sunday night, walked in, said, Jack's days are numbered. Forced his way into one of our offices there. Tried to get in my office. Said, Jack, I don't have to do that. If I had come here and been a reverend and just had a good, solid, worshipful kind of a church, I wouldn't be that well known. I wouldn't be out. But I came here to fight the devil. I came here to get people saved. I can't reach Chicago. And I created my own struggle. I wouldn't want to live a life without struggle. I want challenges. I want goals. I want hills to climb. I want battles to fight. I want obstacles to overcome. I want hurdles to jump. And every person alive needs to have it if you're going to be strong to face life as you want to face it. I didn't have to lead you to build Baptist City. I didn't have to lead you to build Howells Anderson College. Those are struggles. I invented. You didn't ask me to build a college. I asked you. I didn't have to lead you to build City Baptist schools for the bus kids and struggle to keep them open. I didn't have to lead you to buy a memory lane and cemetery and build a mausoleum. I didn't have to lead you to do that. I didn't have to lead you to start Hammond Baptist High School, Hammond Baptist Junior High School, Hammond Baptist Grade School, and our six schools we have. I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to lead you to have five Pentecost Sundays. I didn't have to lead you to have 250 buses going all over this area trying to reach folks for God. I didn't have to lead you to reach Chicago inner city. I didn't have to lead you to have 36 pastor schools and 36 other things. Believe me, it has been a struggle, but I created my own struggle because I want to face God someday and see how I climb some mountains and hills. A guy tried to climb Mount Everest. And somebody asked him, why are you doing it? He said, because it's there. Because it's there. Every real, you hear me carefully, Christian or not, saved or not, every real red-blooded American male, if we have any left, won't struggle. He wants to win. I heard a preacher the other day talking about winning. 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 Win. You don't win unless you struggle. Everybody wants to be in the army. Christ used to say, everybody wants to be in the army of the Lord, but everybody wants to be in the quartermaster corps. Nobody wants to be in infantry. Nobody wants to dig the foxholes. But you hear me carefully. The struggle that you're going through, and God knows all over this building, there's struggle after struggle after struggle. Those struggles you're going through today, don't you say, the devil sure is fighting. No, sir. It wasn't Hitler that made me go through that paratroop training. It was the sergeant, because he was trying to save my neck. So quit shrinking back and saying, oh, the devil sure is fighting. The devil's trying to get you not to have any struggles. He wants you soft and flabby. He wants every young man to go through Howard's Anderson College without working 1 hour. He wants every young person to have a new car for graduation. I expect I've lost about 10 families right there and a third of our tithe. If you can afford to give your kid a new car, I don't want to lose you. But the devil wants us to train a bunch of spoiled brats. The devil wants us to rear our children to be soft. And the devil wants you to be soft. He wants you to have a life of ease. As I look back over my life of 72 and over a half now, years, 73 years old this September, it's been a struggle. You say, Brother Howes, you feel sorry for the fact that you had to struggle. Hallelujah, glory to God. Let me say again, I thank God for the struggle. If I had my choice to be reared in poverty or luxury and live my life over again, I'd want to be reared in poverty. If I had my choice to go through the depression or the prosperity years, I'd want to be reared in the depression. If I had my choice, I'd want to fight every battle I fought, face every enemy I faced, carry every burden I've carried, climb every mountain I've climbed. Why? Because when I face my God, I want my God to say, you fought the good fight. You finished the course. And you've kept the faith. Now hold it carefully. I'm going to close with this. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, if that's be true, why are you still having battles? Why are you still having struggles? God's not preparing you for your last work. Your last work is facing the end in a few years. Oh, did you ever hear about heaven? Did you know that heaven is not going to be a place of rest? Some of you, your concept of heaven is lying in a hammock, drinking lemonade, watching the fish jump out of the river of life, with the tree of life right beside you so you can pluck fruit. Not me. I don't want to go to heaven if it's not going to be work. Because I've enjoyed work. You see, my Bible says in heaven, they serve Him day and night. So why is God putting you through struggles and battles at age 72? He's getting me ready for a real work someday when I get to heaven. So ladies and gentlemen, don't shrink. And don't blame the devil. And canceled your pity party. I love that scripture in the book of Acts where it says they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And so, dear youngster having a tough time in school, dear college student barely making it, dear college wife struggling, dear young couple having a tough time making ends meet, dear man struggling to pay the bills, dear widow struggling to make it alone to rear the kids, whatever your struggle is, whatever your heartbreak is, Thy God hath commanded thy strength. It's not from the devil. It's from God. Just like the coach puts his own team through the struggles of training. Just like the sergeant put us through the struggles of basic training. Now this morning, if you're here, you never trusted Christ. All your struggles come to the devil. All your battles, all your heartaches and all your problems come to the devil. Walk down this aisle. Trust Christ as your Savior. Become a Christian. And then God will determine exactly what your course of training is. And that course of training, I look and see a little mother over here with her daughter, rearing her by herself. That's where I used to sit. My mom and I sat on the front row together, alone. If I had it to do all again, I'd want the same thing. Because I saw a wonderful woman called Coastal Mattie Hiles become the best-known preacher's wife in America, my mother in America. Why? Because she struggled. And she struggled. And she struggled. Would you bow your heads?